You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz on the 30th of November. The real debate. It is. It's real. It's out there. One, a philosophical debate over coffee. Another, a real live jazz debate. And then your questions on Facebook Live. That's what's coming up on today's program. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. We are live on Facebook every Thursday, coming to you from Los Angeles as the Jazz get ready to play the depleted LA Clippers and the Jazz try to get back to 500 along the way. Hope you're well. Thanks very much for tuning in. I always love, when we used to Google Hangout, we used to do hotel art. Used to be a feature on the program where I'd share like what the hotel art looks like. And I love this hotel because this is like one of the nicest hotels around. There's my hotel art. Yeah, not a single this is a beautiful hotel, and it's incredible. I would never stay here on my own. I'd never be able to afford it. But I will tell you that my room is about as bleak. If you look over here. I move my hand. There we go. We have one piece and then a whole lot of nothing. So there's your hotel art. I actually am going to start doing that on Instagram again. I always think hotel views and hotel art are really funny. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. I'm going to share a little debate we had over coffee that I think is interesting. I just got back from that. And then talk about Favors Gobert, because I think that's the number one topic for everyone. And then take your questions on Facebook Live. Today's show is brought to you by SlowTheFlow.org. That's right. You can slow the flow. Make sure you do slow the flow. We live in a desert. You got to be really, really good about it. So make sure go to SlowTheFlow.org to find out more from everyone. Check your toilet for leaks, which waste up to 90 gallons a day. Get more tips, saving water. It's slowtheflow.org. It's also brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. All right, let's get to the show rather than all my little trials and tribulations. So every morning, I'm lucky enough that I go to coffee with, almost every morning, with the Eurobasket champion Igor Kokoskov. Here is my blue bottle cold brew from this morning. So we go and do that every morning together. We head to coffee. Today we had Nick Earn from the Warriors join us because the Warriors are staying here as well. And the Warriors are this interesting team right now because the Warriors have this Steve Kerr life looseness to them that is particularly unique to who they are and how they play and how they do things. So, you know, they have these incredible team dinners. It's rumors that they spent upwards of $2 million in the last year on food after games for players. They have music playing on the plane for the coaching staff while they're working. They have music playing. And yet, so they have this looseness. Like, okay, but they also are the Warriors, right? So you have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You got Draymond. And I think particularly this year, if you listen to Steve in any of the interviews he's done, Steve Kerr's really sitting there saying, hey, my guys are exhausted, they're disengaged, and I'm fine with it. Like, this is impossible to ask someone to go play these, you know, try to go back to the finals for a fourth straight time. I've done it, I know what it's like, and this is an incredible task. So we're disengaged, you know, our guys are disengaged right now, they're kind of playing, and they snuck out an overtime win last night over the Lakers, they lost to the Kings, and you know what? They'll click in when they need to. And, you know, I've never heard a head coach just blatantly come out and say, yeah, my guys are tired and struggling and there's a malaise on our team and I'm fine with it. So that's this kind of, so that's where they are right now, which is in and of itself unique. But their general philosophy has been this whole, if you've read the feature articles on Steve Kerr, they'll grab the group and take him for a walk. And I watched some teams in the NBA recently who, and I get a little nervous in using examples, but I would say watching Minnesota play Washington the other night, Minnesota looked like they were that they were miserable. And this is without Jeff Teague. Minnesota looked as though They weren't enjoying themselves at all. Now, I didn't watch last night where they blew out New Orleans, and according to Igor Kokoschkov, who's preparing for New Orleans, that they look great. So I didn't he said Minnesota was just sharp as could be. So maybe it was just an off night. But I'm watching that team, and they're young, and they make all sorts of mistakes, and they look as though they're a team Minnesota does that maybe just has lost some joy to what they're doing. So the discussion at coffee today, which I thought was really interesting, was, so how do you have this joy, which I guess, it would seem as though the stereotype way to do it is to have the music playing and all. Right, but I'm watching Minnesota. I mean, they make, Karl Anthony Towns makes just these horrific mistakes late in the game where, cross screen on an inbound, he's got to bump his guy and he Olays him so that then Otto Porter gets a layup and they don't close. Jimmy Butler's dying on a pick strangely and Karl Anthony Towns. And so there's a level of detail where these guys are not executing it at all. And so you've got to kind of be pounding them into that, and yet at the same time you pound them too much, you probably lose any enjoyment or whatever we're going to call joy to playing the game. And I find this just a really interesting debate on, Quinn runs a pretty interesting balance because we really practice, okay? So much more than most teams, we're practicing and running through play sets and working through things, and went through it yesterday probably ad nauseum in that third segment to bore you to death on the show, where we ran through those plays, and maybe it was too much for me to do for you on the show. And at times, I think the players are like, oh, my gosh, another version of Bull Small, right? Like, oh, my, and here's another intricate play I've got to learn. I got to learn 400, and there's a burden to it. But on our group, if you're not doing that, then we're probably not winning, right? Part of why we're winning is we have this intricate system and we move the ball. And we've got these adults in Jerebko and Udo and Cephalosha who are able to move the ball and play as a team and do everything that they, and play the right way. And they're profiting off of it. And so I think, I think it's a really interesting kind of mix. I think there is. Doris Burke sat down with me when she went to practice and said, oh, look, these guys get along. Sure looks like these guys get along. So you can see that element of our team exists. And I think the Warriors probably look like they're having a blast. And frankly, they bring guys in like Nick Young because they're just so fun. Like Nick Young's kind of known around the league, not just in a crazy party way because he dated Izzy Azalea, but just he's supposedly just a really happy, nice guy. And that's kind of the word on the street is they brought him in because of that, like that he just adds a good positive energy there. And so I don't know. I just think it's a really interesting, and I'll stop here just because I don't have any definitive answer to it, but it's an interesting kind of mix on how do you build a team that has the level of detail that it needs to have, and maybe the Warriors are so great they don't have to have the level of detail, and also has a joyousness to it that allows it to get through 82 games of a season, because this is a arduous task. And once you're not enjoying yourself, I think it's very, very hard to start enjoying yourself again. That would be my take on that. All right. As I mentioned, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Slow the Flow. I love these people. I really do, because this is really, really important stuff at Slow the Flow. Like the water usage and preserving water is really, really important. And yet, instead of like belaboring us with like, you're going to destroy the earth and we're going to end up being miserable and you're going to destroy everything and you're an evil, terrible person for flushing the toilet. They've made it fun with their whole water efficiency rating and all of their other fun little ways that they kind of help me out with bullet points. I give them great credit. I don't know if it's the people over at R&R or what it is, but they when I do things like this, they send me the notes that say like, hey, here's how we should do it. So in the past, they love this. In the past 20 years, Utah's weather has been a streaky shooter. Some years it's all splash. Other years it's very little. certainly we're about as dry as we were against Miami right now, and we have not had the rainstorm that the Jazz have had of shooting threes well recently. I guess this depends your point of view, but you guys certainly, if you're looking up at the mountains, we have no snowpack right now. So this is a big-time issue. It's, you know, I'm now being the serious one. They're having fun with it, but there's a lot you can do in the winter that's really important. So slowtheflow.org, here's some notes for you. Shortening your shower time. If you showered just 1 minute less every day, you'd save 1,875 gallons of water each year. That's just you. So if everyone does that, think about it. Even better, if you switch to an ultra-low flow shower head, you'd save as much as 2.5 gallons every minute you shower. Again, if all of us did that. Utah's important to us. We live in a desert. Right now we have no rainfall. Right now we have no snowpack that is our waterfall. So please go to slowtheflow.org. Slow the flow. Save H2O. The irony, by the way, right there was thick. They're having fun with it. I can't help myself but being serious. So I'm bringing up all the serious parts about the fact that we have no water usage right now. Kind of ironic. All right, the number one conversation piece that I think I'm going to have here on the Facebook Live questions, and so I just think I'd get to it, is so Rudy's close. Like, Rudy's coming back here pretty soon. And he's busting his butt, doing great, great work. And, ooh, look, the sun's coming in. I'm all illuminated. It's kind of cool. We'll leave it that way. And so Rudy is coming back here at some point. What do we do? It's a real issue. Okay, a lot of times in these things, I think they're fan manufactured, and I think that they are talk show host, 24-hour news cycle. Man, no, this one's real. Like this one, the coaching staff sitting around talking about it. I'm sure the players are being talking about it. I'm sure Derek's worrying about it. I'm sure Rudy's wondering. Like it is clear that the combination of Rubio, Favors, and Gobert struggled. It is clear that Quinn Snyder's offense with spread floor is elite. And the question is whether we can be good enough defensively this way. We still don't know the answer to that, I don't think. So this is a real issue. Let me walk through my thoughts without really knowing anything. I haven't talked to anyone about it. It's kind of like the big elephant in the room, though. So first thing I would say is Favors will still start. You'll still start. We're going to start games for a while until it gets so bad we have to do something. I'm sure we'll try to continue to start with Ricky, Derek, and Rudy. And I'm not sure that there's any other option to that. I just do not think you can go put Derek Favors, or for that matter, Rudy Gobert, on the bench. You just can't do it. And it would be, you know, Derek is probably our second or third best player. So, unfortunately, we have enough data right now that's showing that at least from an offensive standpoint, and then defensively we weren't great, that it's hard for us to have our first, second, and third best players all on the floor at the same time. Like, that's a difficulty for the way the roster is made up right now. I think it still can be successful, but not in the same style that it has been, right? It's not going to be quite the same. This is tricky. So up until this year, Favors and Gobert were great together because their differential was super. This year, the offense was so bad that there was no way you could have your defense be good enough. Now, my easy answer to that is that you've added a non-shooting point guard. And so that's what created the difficulty. We'll see. Maybe we've evolved past that. That will be the first thing that I think we have to find out is, has something happened in this 10-game stretch, or maybe 11-game stretch by the time we're done here? I think we're at 9 right now, right? So 10, 11, whatever game stretch, 12, 13, whatever game stretch we're going to have before Rudy returns. The first thing you find out is whether or not maybe we've tapped into something that can carry over and improve the offense with those two guys. So that's the first thing that you're going to discover. And maybe we're going to get a good answer there. if the offensive woes continue, then it gets tricky. Then what you're probably doing is getting out of that starting lineup as quickly as you can every night, getting into a spread floor, but then you're short on minutes for Derek. You're really short on minutes for Derek. And that gets tricky. Here you have a guy who's a free agent at the end of the year, who's been very good to this organization, whose engagement level is clearly better right now than it has been before, who is not a stretch four, who does not, when he plays the four and stretches to the corners, does not bring defenders with him. And frankly, if Rudy's playing 32 minutes, you've only got 16 backup minutes for Derek. And so even if you're only giving him four, if he's, you know, suddenly you're only at 26 minutes for Derek every night. That's enough to get him grumpy. Rightfully so, frankly. Okay? Like, I mean, I think that some of this is we're all viewing this from the team prism. But every now and then you have to view it from the individual player prism. And I would say that if I'm Derek and I've just had this 10-game stretch where I've been really great and averaged 18-7 or whatever it is and won you a bunch of games and then I come back to 16 minutes a night, I'm pissed. Rightfully so. And so it gets complicated. There is and the end road of this, which is, again, real. These are uncomfortable issues, but they're real. Is that Derek's a free agent at the end of the year. Derek is unlikely to want to re-sign in Utah if he thinks he can play 30 minutes a night somewhere else, right? Because Gobert's here. Which then strikes into an uncomfortable circumstance that the trade debt, if you know you're going to lose Derek, from a pure organizational standpoint, not this season, are you better off moving Derek and getting an asset for him? So this is a real issue. This is really complicated. This is really hard on Derek. Really hard on Rudy, probably, because he'll lose some minutes. Really hard on Quinn. Really hard on Dennis. Really hard on it. There's nothing easy here, unfortunately. As great as we're playing right now, this is a real issue. So the first thing is you got to hope that maybe something's clicked, that when they all get back out on the floor together, the ball pops a little bit. They've seen how it works with everyone, and they're better in that stretch. Next, part two is, can you get Derek enough time to stay engaged? And can Rudy be good enough offensively that we can mimic what we did with Derek? That's another side. Let's put some of this on Rudy. Rudy's got to find a way to be as offensively good as Derek's been. Or continue to be able to defensively be dominant as a single big, which he has done before. But when we're at our best defensively, it's with both bigs. And then part two of that is from an organization. Then if you realize, which realistically I think it's unlikely that Derek wants to re-sign in Utah if he's not going to be able to play, if he's not going to get many minutes. As much he may love Utah, like Utah, love Quinn, love Dennis, love his teammates, like being here, have had his three kids here, be all in. They're already paying a center $30 million. I've understood that I'm now a center. Where am I going to get to play? And so if you know that's going to happen, then the next thing that happens in this process gets to be a really interesting of whether or not, regardless if it helps you this season, looking to the long term of the franchise, do the Jazz move Derek at the trade deadline, even though it might be the difference between making and not making the playoffs this year? Right, you trade Derek, you may not be as good coming out of the brutal December into January into February. You got to win a bunch of games. But you get a future asset of some sort. I don't think you're getting equal value for Derek when you're trading him for 2 months at the end of a trade deadline. So it's really very, very, very complicated issue. Casey Carver, I'm going to take my first set of questions because Casey Carver just bumped in with three or four questions on this as I was talking. Why do you have to start Favors? Because he's an NBA starter. You put, maybe Quinn will have enough guts to do this. He says, you moved Hood to the bench. You move Hood to the bench. Why don't you do it, Derek? Because if you move Derek to the bench, he's playing 16 minutes a night. Derek's a way better player than that. And so that's not fair to Derek. Derek deserves way more than that. It's interesting. Someone just said, oh, it's Casey. You make Derek sound like a drama queen. I'm not sure what I think of you, Casey, actually. I think your questions have a lack of touch on understanding human dynamics and that these are human beings that actually have a career, feelings, emotions. I don't know, you know, I don't know if anything about you. You could be 12, you could be 16, you could be 36, you could be 66 because it's the social networking world. And so I don't know anything about you. But if you're, and maybe you're 12, maybe you're 16, I love it, and you don't have enough life experience to grab it. Maybe you're 66 and clueless. I don't know. But if you're working as a salesperson in an office and you've been really, really good and suddenly they take all your accounts away, you're pissed, right? So they're taking away your chance to make money. They're taking away your value at work. They're taking away all the things you've done well that you've earned. You're pissed. Derek's not a drama queen at all. Derek's an absolutely fabulous NBA player who in the last 9 games has shown his value, and it's hard for him to show that same value when Rudy Gobert plays. This is just a really difficult situation that's real. Like, it's got to be addressed. It's kind of the thing nobody wants to talk about, but I'm talking about today. Today's show is brought to you, and we'll get to your questions coming up here in just a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, so you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by all the right candidates. Then the cool thing is ZipRecruiter, instead of making you go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of applicants, ZipRecruiter uses its smart matching technology and actively to work, and then it actively notifies qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting. So both you're sending it out, ZipRecruiter's sending out, you're getting stuff in, and then ZipRecruiter's able to kind of go through the candidates as well for you. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. So it's a two-way street. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates so you don't have to waste time sorting through those stack of resumes I mentioned. It's really, really well done. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates through their site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses in all sites, sizes, industries, everything. There's no one specific area. So go try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. Use ZipRecruiter for free for the and find out what it's like. If you're hiring, it doesn't matter your business size, and it's going to go both directions. That's the uniqueness that is ZipRecruiter. All right, it's Facebook Live Thursday, so let's go to your questions. I did take some of them. Let's see what we can get from the very beginning here. You know what? Sometimes it's easier if I do this online. Let's see if I can get the speed of the internet to be up fast enough for us to have this actually work. No, doesn't look like I can do that. I'm actually pretty pleased we pulled this off today. I didn't think it was going to actually work. Is it worth considering keeping favors and trading Rudy? We could get quite a package for Rudy. So my initial reaction to that has two thoughts. One is you better make sure you're going to be able to re-sign Derek. Right? Trade Rudy. Derek's a free agent. Derek decides to leave. You're screwed. So in that sense, that's a pretty big ask or a pretty big idea. Probably too difficult. Really, really, really risky, right? The other one is absolutely. You should consider it. You should consider everything. You should consider, but yeah, if you could suddenly get a franchise-changing collection of players and knew you could re-sign Derek and that made you a better team in the future, absolutely the discussion should at least be had. I think it's unlikely that you could do that. And the risk, you know, is real. Is really real there. So, I think that you, I love the question. And I think that it's a thought exercise that we probably should be having. Ryan, good morning. Justin Sweeney, nice to see you. Since Gobert's been out, the Jazz have been playing better offensively, or do you think Gobert is going to be a part of a trade? No, I do not think Gobert is going to be a better part of a trade. I think what's going to be interesting is what the Jazz did after Gobert's been out is they went to a spread floor. As we talked about on yesterday's show, whenever they've had the spread floor, go back to Joe Johnson last year, the Jazz offense has been elite. And now the question is whether or not we can create the same offensive environment with Gobert as the five and a spread floor, which we did last year with Joe Johnson. There's really no reason to believe we can't. But can that still be done? Or was Derek doing something? Derek's probably a little bit better playing in the mid post, where kind of the mid roll area where he can pass out or hit that little floater. He's probably better than that at that. He's probably a little better at catching a bounce pass in the pocket low than Rudy. He's not as big. And there's some other areas where I think, you know, obviously Rudy's better up above the rim. Rudy takes in a little bit more space. Rudy might be a better pick setter, though. I don't know about that. Udo's the best pick setter on the team. So I think that when you look at, and obviously Rudy's length gives him some areas defensively where he's better, and there's some other areas where Derek, both these guys are great. Like, that's, I think, the reminder that's happened is how good Derek is. We shouldn't turn how good Derek is into any way forgetting how great Rudy is either. Let's not lose our focus on this and take it in that manner. And some of the best parts of Rudy are that quest to be great, the energy he brings, the night in and night out effort. Like, let's remember how truly terrific Rudy Gobert is. By the way, that internet page, when I just tried to load it again, still hasn't loaded. I mean, not to sound like I'm on Prodigy at 16.8 or whatever right now, but it certainly feels like I'm on old school dial up. I'm waiting to listen to the sounds and be like, ah, ah, ah. Like, I'm never going to, this podcast, if you're watching it on Facebook, you're going to get it. Like, I'm never going to be able to get this up on the system today. There's no way. Ah! Road games suck, other than great dinners. I had dinners with my in-laws. That was great. No, I love my in-laws. I'm totally kidding. I had a great time, actually, last night with them. Let's see. Brandon Whiteside, am I wrong thinking Mitchell's game is similar to Burks' game when he first came into the league? How can Mitchell's game... Yeah, they're not. Yeah, you are, actually. How about that? You're totally wrong. Brandon, I love you. You're a good traditional... How can Mitchell's game fit in the offense, but Burks had to change? No, there's just a lot of details. And it was not because Burks clashed with Hayward. There's just, no, Donovan's a different level. Donovan's better around the rim already. Donovan, actually, I was with some people in the NBA the other day, and they're like, Donovan's your best player. I was like, oh, ah! Like, but they're probably true. So, no, that's not a great comp, actually. I'm worried about this strong offense going away once Rudy comes back because Favors isn't willing to be off the bench. Can we get anything for him? Is he even worth trading? I think I've kind of addressed that. I'm hoping that the offense that was Rubio, Favors, and Gobert that was a disaster at 90 points per 100 possessions in the first stint before Gobert's injury will reset a little bit and be better than that, and so that some of the issue we're talking about will be alleviated because the offense with those three is going to be better. That would be my hope. That, you know, I think that would be my hope in the first thing, and then maybe you're able to find a good differential in those 12 to 8, and then suddenly because they're good, that minutes expand, and then if suddenly you're getting 12 minutes there, and then Rudy's playing 32 and Derek's playing 69, he's at 28, now you're okay. Like, that would be the hope, is that the starting... And then you're good, right? So then you decide, then you have a different decision to be made, which is at the trade deadline, if the offense kicks in and works, this is the optimistic point of it, if the offense kicks in and works well enough in those 6 to 12 minutes, then, and Rudy's playing 32 and then Derek's getting those 16 minutes, then suddenly Derek's got enough time. Now maybe you can be copacetic and... maybe on some nights Derek closes and Rudy closes. There's just a bunch of different things you can do, and we're pretty good, and we get to be pretty good again because the offense clicks in and the defense improves, and now you're making a playoff run, and you decide that that's more important than any asset you're going to be able to get. So it's an interesting time. Will Royce O'Neal assume a regular role in the rotation, perhaps in place of Alec? Although this might be a moot once Gobert and Johnson return, and minutes will be trickier. Yeah, I mean, minutes are going to get really tricky. Right, so Joe Johnson returns. Where is he getting minutes? Like, is he taking Cephalosius? Is he taking Jarebko's? And then if Cephalosius is losing those minutes, is Cephalosius sliding in back to the three? And then is Alec losing his minutes? Or is Neto losing his, who've been really good? No, it's tricky. There's a lot of really, really tricky things that are going to happen here with this roster as the team gets healthier. It's good. It's a good problem to have. But it's tricky. It was actually getting a little tricky beforehand, too. Joe's still out another 2 weeks. Somebody just sent in, the loser will be Udo when Rudy returns. Yeah, I mean, I think every scenario I've talked about has Udo out of the rotation. Every single one of them, which is tough because he's played well, too. So it is, there are some tricky days ahead. And O'Neal, Alec's working really, really hard right now. If you see him, he's made a bunch of plays in the paint recently without going a million miles an hour recklessly into the basketball stanchion or something like that. I think the East Coast trip was hard on Alec, and I think he realized he's got to make some adjustments, and he's working hard at it. So let's see if Alec can pull through on that. When we get our full complement of players back, do you think we gain more momentum on both ends or we lose chemistry? Honestly, I think it's going to be tough. I think there's going to be a toughness to it. I guess that's kind of the point of the show today, is that we have some real rotation minute battles going on, and as copacetic as everything is right now, let's see. But also, injuries keep happening, and you never know. Travis, long-time listener, first-time live video. Thanks. Hi from Athens, Greece. That's awesome. Here's Casey Carver and his questions we got to already. What's the wall art in this hotel room? I showed it earlier. We'll bring that back. The view from my hotel room. I'll give that to you in a second. Did you just roll out of bed and start this podcast? Your hair is wonderful. No, I've been out for coffee already. Thank you. I just didn't do anything with my hair. Can we go after a player like Harrison Barnes? We might be able to. Favors is staying. He's an amazing player, and it's all beginning to work, to gel. Quinn is a wizard, says Crystal. Okay. I love that. I would love Derek to stay. I'm a huge fan. I love having him around. I've been with him every day of his career except for when he's been in New Jersey. I think it's unlikely. I just do. I'm not. Not that he doesn't like it. But if I was doing a talk show and I'd been really good and could be really, really good, and they came to me and just told me I was doing weekends and no longer had a midweek, time slot, I would then look for a job to go find a job where I could do a Monday through Friday talk show. Like that, that's all we're talking about. It's nothing tricky here. So somebody just said it's about the team, not the individual. That actually is the furthest thing from the truth that anyone has ever said. Every team is about the individual maximizing themselves inside of the team concept to create a team. But there's no chance that it's about. And I'm not sure there's anything in life that's truly about the team over the individual. If you're really honest about yourself. Maybe marriage. Maybe marriage is the only one. Think about it. The NBA is about individuals establishing their individual worth and their individual place, and then they join the team concept. Or establishing their individual value and their individual inside of the team concept. As long as they're able to maximize their individual worth. Okay? And that's not the NBA. That's your sales staff. That's your radio station. That's your technology building in the building in Microsoft. That's everywhere. If you believe otherwise, Here's the real question, and I'll end on this today. Which would you actually rather have as your teammate? The one who's trying to push their individual self-worth as far as they possibly can and their individual greatness? Or the one who's just willing to acquiesce into the team? I think I want the first one, and I'm going to figure out how to make the team work with the first one. Have a great day. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stop the flow. Well, slow the flow. I got to stop saying stop. Slowtheflow.org. Do what you need to do. Help us out in the desert. They're having fun with it. I'm being very, very serious. Only run your washing machine when you have a full load. Each load uses 30 gallons. Find out more at slowtheflow.org. And also at ZipRecruiter today, bringing you the show. And feel free to go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz to get your free trial. This has been Locked On Jazz, a little individual philosophy on the back end. Have a great day. See you.